Good to see everybody here today. Hope you've had a good week, a pleasant week. Good to have our visitors with us. We have several from different places. Good to have part of our family in town that we haven't seen for a while, and just good to have each one of you here today. Hope you will stick around if you can for the lunch at the fellowship hall right after the worship this morning. You may not have known we were doing that. You may not have made arrangements for that, but we'll have plenty of food, and our teams are doing the hosting on that. We just really appreciate them taking the initiative on that and being willing to do that. I'm looking forward to this lunch and getting to enjoy that as well. There's a comment that was made in class today that I think really kind of hits at the heart of our Bible study, and I think it's Juanita asked, do you use commentaries, or do you think it's okay to use commentaries? And I really do. I think commentaries are very valuable. As long as we remember that that's just what they are, is commentaries. It's kind of like a Bible class or a sermon. Everything you hear that is not a reading of the Scripture is commentary. And so I really urge you to compare that to the Scripture and draw your own conclusions from the Scripture. One of the reasons that I think this 30-day challenge that we've been doing for the last couple of years has been so successful, I think we've sent out somewhere between 70 and 80,000 of the bookmarks for people to challenge them to read the Word first and the New Testament first, and then to study through the New Testament, and then to read the Old Testament, and then to study through the Old Testament. We're finishing up on the Old Testament study guide that we're trying to put together. But the reason I think it's been well received, I hope the reason is because it's so vital for us to find out for ourselves. What I say to you, whether it's in class or from the sermon, same as any other teacher or preacher, it's our best judgment, our best observation from the Scripture. But you have a duty to find out for yourself and to make sure for yourself. When I was a young man, I used commentaries all the time. I got out of college, and I think the very first few years I was in Casper, Wyoming, they had me teaching between 6 and 8 classes a year. It was good for me from a perspective of it got me into the Bible, but it was difficult because they had somebody who was teaching that was not real familiar with the Scriptures too often, in my opinion. I think each one of us need to start somewhere, and I was glad they did that. But one of the things I finally started doing was putting away the commentaries. And the reason I did that was because I found that I was trying to spit out what somebody else thought, and I started reading through the Word over and over and over again with the idea of, after I've read through the Scriptures a number of times and have been able to try and draw my own conclusions, then I'm going to go back to the commentaries after I have actually read and studied the Word myself, instead of being influenced as much by the writings of men or the teaching and preaching of men, and try to be more influenced by the Word of God. So let me encourage you in that. Whether you have taken part in this 30-day challenge or some other way, let me encourage you to be a daily Bible reader and to do your best to study the Word of God. There's going to be a test every day on it, and there's going to be a final on it on the Day of Judgment as to how well you learned the Word of God and applied it to your life. We won't do that unless we love God. There's no reason for us to obey God's commandments if we don't love Him, and there's no way that we will obey His commandments if we don't love Him. If we love Him, we're going to find out what He has to say. Again, we're going to come to different conclusions from time to time, but if you and I will do our best, that is the command, is it not? Do your best to correctly handle the Word of truth. Now, I want to give you an example today. This comes from Zig Ziglar. He's kind of like Og Mandino. I always hesitate to give examples for men who have cavemen names, but I think this is one of the best examples I've ever heard. And it was the example of a town with a garbage dump. The town had a garbage dump that was out a ways from town, and they had dumped in that garbage dump for years, but the town was very nicely situated, and because of the town being situated nicely, it started to grow. And because it started to grow, the town started getting closer and closer to that garbage dump. And the closer they got to the garbage dump, the people who were in that area, the worse things began to smell. And so what they did was they stopped dumping stuff in the dump. And then they got a bunch of dump trucks and they moved all that garbage that they could out of there. And then they filled the rest with clean fill dirt. And then, not satisfied with that, they built a shopping center. A shopping center that employed hundreds of people and served thousands of people. Well, I really like that example because it shows that we don't just have to accept what's around us if we can do something about it. We can take care of the garbage dumps in this world, whether they're physical garbage dumps or whether they're the garbage dumps that perhaps our lives have become. And so I want to look at this example from a perspective of our own lives. What do you do if you get to the point where you're not satisfied with the way your life is looking and smelling? And I would suggest to you the first thing you do is you stop dumping garbage. And the next thing you do is you haul the garbage that's there off. And then the next thing you do is you put something that is beautiful in its place. The scriptures talk about this in a much more eloquent way, and I'd like to call your attention to the scriptures now. And I'd like to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain." Well, I want to take this foundation, the gospel that saves us, that we have heard, and apply it to this idea of the garbage dumps that we find in our life, and sometimes, in fact, the very idea that sometimes our entire life, if we get away from God, can become a garbage dump. What do you do about it? In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter was preaching the gospel for the first time to a large group of people. And he was talking to a group of people, many of whom had demanded that Jesus be crucified. And a number of these people now have become convinced because of the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit that they have seen and the word that's being preached to them, that they have, in fact, crucified Christ. And they wonder how they can get rid of that sin. And in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, they say, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. There's a lot here, but I want to start with the idea of repentance. The idea of stopping that dumping of garbage in your life. You got something that you've been struggling with, that you know you need to get rid of. Stop dumping the garbage. I know that's easy to say and hard to do. By definition, you and I have one sin or a couple of sins that are the hardest thing that we struggle with in life. And we're not satisfied with what these sins are doing to our lives. Maybe there's something that in and of themselves, they may not be sin, but because we give them top priority in our lives, they have become sin because they've taken the place of the master on the throne. What do you do when you find yourself surrounded by garbage, the garbage of sin? And the answer is, you repent. You stop dumping garbage. In Acts chapter 3, verse 15, He's talking again to a group of people who were responsible for the killing of Christ. And he says this, "You killed the author of life," Acts 3, verse 15. "But God raised him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." Talking about a man who was crippled that they made whole. And it was by faith that he was made strong. "It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders," going back to the idea that they called for Christ's crucifixion. "But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, and that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." I love that in verse 19. You have sin in your life. What do? You repent that the times of refreshing may come. There are too many people who, in this life, they want peace. They want freedom from the penalty of sin, but they don't want to give up sin, which is ridiculous. It's like you're continuing to pour garbage on yourself, but you don't want that smell. If you don't want that smell, stop dumping the garbage. It's the only solution. And that means repentance. Repentance is, I was going in this direction, it's the wrong direction, I'm stopping, I'm turning around. In other words, I was going towards Satan and now I'm going towards God. If you want to get rid of the garbage dump problem, you've got to repent. You've got to stop dumping garbage. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. "I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness." We'll talk about this a little bit more in just a second, but the idea is you used to be in sin. Now you need to stop that and start doing something good. You don't just cease doing what you're doing. You got to replace it with godliness. And so in verse 20, he says, "When you are slaves to sin," and take a moment here and each one consider the sin that you've got in your lives or had in your lives and think about what God is saying to us. "When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? These things result in death, but now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're heaping sin on your life. You're not pleased with the way you look and the way that your life smells, but then you stop. And you caught yourself and you think, what benefit am I getting? I'm just polluted. And so you catch yourself, and by God's direction, by God's gospel, you get rid of that sin. But you cannot get rid of that sin until you first stop dumping the garbage. Now, there's something that goes along very, very closely to that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows who are his.' Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." We do have to confess our belief in Jesus, that he is both Lord and that he is the Son of God. But to do that, to make that confession without turning away from our wickedness, without getting rid of the garbage in our life, isn't going to do you any good. And that's why he says, whoever confesses the name of Jesus, something you must do, must turn away from wickedness. We have to stop dumping the garbage. And about this confession, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith we're proclaiming. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We see the vital importance of making sure that we have a belief that is confessed. And then we give up our sins. We repent of it. Now, we've looked at all that. You get rid of the garbage. The second thing they did was, or they stopped dumping the garbage. The second thing they did was they got rid of the garbage. How do you do that? Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Paul is going back to the moment that he was saved, and he's telling them about what he had done. If you recall, Paul used to be known as Saul of Tarsus. He was an up-and-coming Jew. He had a lot of power. He had been given letters from the powerful Jews in Jerusalem to go up and have people in Damascus thrown into prison that believed in Jesus. And that's what he was doing. He was on the road. He was going to have them arrested and hopefully killed for what they were doing in his mind. And while he was on the road, Jesus appeared to him. And Saul did what you and I would have done if Jesus had appeared to us. He repented. But it's interesting that Jesus didn't tell him the gospel at that point. He said, you go into Damascus and you'll be told what to do. And in as he recounts this in Acts chapter 22, 16 years later, he points out that Ananias said to him, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away. That's what baptism is for. It's to wash your sins away. You cannot possibly get rid of the garbage in your life unless you're baptized. And that baptism is a baptism because you believed in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9 is the actual account itself. In verse 18, after Ananias had healed Saul of his blindness, it said he got up and was baptized. Why? Because Ananias said, what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized and wash your sins away. It's not enough to just cease dumping garbage. You got to get rid of the garbage from your life. And the only way you can do that is to have your sins washed away through baptism. That's what we read in Acts chapter 2 when we began, is it not? Brothers, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. I've stopped dumping garbage, but now I've got to get rid of the garbage. And that is why we're baptized. It removes the sin and therefore the penalty of sin from us. The last thing that they did was after they had stopped dumping garbage and got rid of it, was they put something in its place. This may be one of the most important lessons for us to draw from this today. There are so many people who obey the gospel. They obey the initial plan of salvation. They have heard the gospel that can save them if they obey it. They believed it. They confessed their belief that Jesus was Lord, the Son of God. They repented of their sins. They had their sins washed away. But now what? See, the people in that town were not just satisfied to get rid of the garbage. They built a shopping center that was beautiful, that did something. It employed people. It served people. And one of the things that I'm convinced that we sometimes miss is that once we become Christians and have our lives cleansed from sin, that we then need to make something beautiful for God. Here's how he puts it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. He's talking to Christians, by the way, and that'll become very apparent as we read through this. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? In other words, I'm a Christian now. Do I keep on dumping garbage? Verse 2. By no means. Some of your versions say, God forbid. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, look at this, we too may live a new life. You don't just get rid of the garbage, and you certainly don't keep pouring the garbage on. You raise to walk a newness of life. You do something beautiful with your life for God. And when you think about what Christ has done for us and what God has done for us, why would we want to do anything else? You want a significant life? Do you want joy in your life? Do you want to do something that actually helps other people? Do you want to stop feeling bad? I'm going to tell you, you have to stop dumping the garbage. And you have to get rid of it. Because just stopping is not enough. And just getting rid of it is not enough. You have to start living for God and building a beautiful life for Him. New King James in Romans 6 translates it this way in verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. I love that term, newness of life. Every morning, because I'm a Christian, I can get up and I can have a newness of life. Yesterday may have been crummy. Last year may have been terrible, but I get a newness of life. What am I going to do with that? What are you going to do with this newness of life? Will you go back to the garbage dump, or will you do something with it? Look at verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin, that garbage, may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I realize this is easy to say and hard to do, but we've got to put away sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You ever given up a big sin, one that just controlled your life? Do you remember the freedom that you had as a result of that? Well, I realize as I talk, I want to say again, each one of us still struggles with some sin. I don't know what it is for you, and you don't know what it is for me, but we struggle with it. You can have freedom from that sin if you will. But you know what? Just getting rid of that garbage wasn't enough. It took some effort to build that shopping center, and then it took a lot of effort to run that shopping center. You've got to build a life that's worthy of the sacrifice that was made for you, and then you've got to live for God and for Christ. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Isn't that a wonderful fact that we have? You're a Christian, you died to sin, death doesn't have dominion over you anymore. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, and look at this caution, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under law, but under grace. That's the beauty of what God has done for us and what Christ has done for us. Are you a Christian? Have you stopped dumping that garbage and removed it from your life? If you haven't yet confessed the name of Christ and repented of your sins and have been baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, let me encourage you to do that today. And if you have, but you're not satisfied with your life, maybe it's because you didn't build something beautiful in the place of the garbage dump you once had. Let me encourage you, if that's the case, to start living for Christ, this new life that He wants you to enjoy. The invitation's open. Won't you come while we stand and sing?